then we go into the estimate for 2014, you will see that there is a slight difference between the two. And the estimate is before the final audit changes or recommendations are made by the auditor, so that we'll have a little bit of a difference there. The budget column was what was approved with the passage of the 2014 budget. The same thing holds true for 2015. And the 2015 budget is what was actually approved by the board at the adoption of the 2015. And the projection of the 2015 is going to be what's we're projecting to have at the end of the year. So just so we're all understanding that and how that moves forward. What we did was we looked at the revenues that we anticipate receiving in each of the years as listed, and then the operating expenses. The operating expenses for 2015 and forward are based upon what we're experiencing at the current time. As we made our projections, these include the expenses in particular, include the expense changes that are going to occur because of the addition of salaries and wages and programs that we implement. The revenues include all of the grants that we are receiving and in the process of receiving. Only those grants that we have actual documentation for having received are included with these revenue projections at this particular time. And likewise, even though we're doing billing now for services that we have not been doing in the past, we've only included those expenses, or excuse me, those revenues based upon what we're experiencing right now. We expect to see a change in the revenue over the course of the next 3 years because of additional billings that we're going to be doing and the programs that we are implementing for the electronic medical record and also our billing services. Currently, we are billing approximately, Mars, about
$2 million.
Yeah, a little over $2 million in revenue. So we will expect to see that to change, but there's no real way to predict that. If we look then at the transfers that we have that out of the general operating fund, transfer to the capital fund, we are not seeing any additions to the capital fund over the course of the 3 years. We're not seeing any increases to the liability fund. And for the proprietary fund, which is a laboratory fund, you can see that in the approved budget for 2015, we had a $506,000 transfer. However, in the projection, what we're recognizing because of our experience in 2014, we are projecting that there's not going to be any transfer into the laboratory fund for 2015. However, looking at 2016, we're budgeting as we had projected previously when we talked about a projection for the laboratory, of fully funding the laboratory in 2016, and then a 50% transfer to the laboratory fund in 2017. And that's noted in footnote A. In footnote B, let me go back to the bond reserve fund. The bond reserve fund is actually the building fund. And currently, we are transferring 1/14 of the property tax allocation into the bond reserve fund, so that you'll see that transfer occurring in 2015, 2016, and 2017. And what we also have listed here is a fund that we have not talked about previously, and here it's called a sinking fund. Others might be familiar with the term depreciation fund. We're not showing anything for transfer into a depreciation fund at that time. But as we go through our other scenarios, you'll see the importance of having that listed there. If we look at the bottom line, is really where we look at. And the amount of ending fund balance and the percentage, you can see that we're looking better than we had in our previous projections, primarily because of the many programs that we've implemented over the course of the past 6 to 9 months, including the reduction in force, the changing in how we're allocating dollars into our individual grants, and in turn, offsetting the costs that we're experiencing in 8010. With that, we can see that our projections for 2015 have us in the 16.5 range, which is right at where the board is recommending us to be for the year end. In 2016, because of our increase in costs that we have projected, that is decreasing to 8.8%. And for 2017, that decreases to 4.2%, which is right at the minimum of what the NAC recommends. So that in this scenario, scenario A, you can see the impact of primarily the laboratory and the maintenance of our bond reserve or building fund or building capital fund. If we then go to...
Before you move off the slide, I think that the difference between the budgeted opening fund balance in the 14 column of 4.8 million and the estimate opening fund balance in the gray column of 21 million is the roughly 16, 17 that we got from the county.
That's correct.
That is our building fund. This makes it look like we're spending $7 million of our building fund in fiscal year 14 on operations, and an additional,
It's just in how it's presented.
Where is the cash coming out to buy a building?
We have the cash in that proprietary fund, and it's not shown on this.
It is shown on this. It's at the beginning. It's in the estimated opening fund balance line for fiscal year.
Sir, the building fund or the bond reserve fund is a separate fund by itself. This one here is a general fund.
So I understand. So where did we get $21 million opening general fund balance?
The $21 million over here, the difference between the 4.7 and the 21 is that 4.7, we just copied exactly what was approved by the board and submitted to the Department of Taxation in March. However, the cover, which produces a $21 million balance in there, it is prepared sometime in November.
I'm sorry, the recovery?
The cover, comprehensive annual financial report. So it is being prepared in November, which is different time period. So when we copied the budget exactly how it is, that's why it's $4.7 million in here. So in order for us to maintain the reliability information, if you notice when we do the estimate, we put in the correct amount as audited.
That would be?
Which is the $21,76,238.
And where did all that money come from?
Well, number one is that we received the money from the county to settle their lawsuit for us. And the reason why we have to show it in there because in 2014, when we prepared the budget, we also budgeted that we will be receiving the money from them, not knowing that the county paid us on the first week of the first month of the year. So that's why we didn't, we were not able to reflect that properly in the budget.
In the first column?
In the first column.
Okay. I'm with you so far. So you're telling me that $21,000 is so much bigger than the budgeted opening fund balance because it includes the money that we got from the county.
Correct, sir.
Where is that money coming out to buy a building?
Okay. The building has its own fund, which is the bond building building fund. And the money that we receive, which is around $60 million more, is a part of the general fund.
I see that.
So if I may, the building fund, the proprietary fund, are all not reflected. Neither one of those and others are not reflected
this
in this.
This is only the general fund.
This is the general fund, and what you see reflected for the proprietary fund is what we propose to transfer into it from the general fund. So we don't have the proprietary fund on this sheet, nor do we have the building fund. And the building fund has 16... 17 million?
Of 16 million. Of June
30, 2014. And that's separate from this 21 million?
Where is the 21 million at the top of the gray column here includes the 16 million from the county?
Correct, sir.
Where does it show that money being transferred to the building fund?
It was not transferred to the building fund.
So it's in the general fund?
It is in the general fund.
This document makes it appear that we're spending a big chunk of that money
on deficit operations during 2014 and 15 and 16 and 17.
That is correct.
You know, so we don't have money to buy a building.
No, right now, sir, as of June 30, 2014, we have $15 million sitting in a different fund, which is the building reserve fund.
Well, how did it get from the general fund on the top of the gray column to the building fund?
Bob, it's a separate bucket. It's not included in there.
It is included. It is included. It's part of the $21 million at the top of the gray column.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. The $16 million difference is the retroactive pay that was used for operations. The $16 million in the bond reserve fund was transferred over a period of years and is sitting in a totally separate bucket.
The $16 million in the bond reserve fund was given to us by an electronic transfer by Clark County about 8 months ago.
That's a totally different $16 million. That's a different amount of money, a different pot of money.
You know what I think we need to do? I understand your confusion. It's not confusion. It's how the numbers are presented, and that what we need to show in addition to the general fund is the actual reserve funds that we have.
If you show me a bond reserve fund that goes from very little money to a whole bunch of money last year, we're good.
I wasn't here, but that building fund has been accumulated over many years and 1/14 put into it every year for a period of time. Exactly. And that's why it's not reflected in this building. It's a separate fund. So is the lab fund. It's separate from this.
Was already here then?
Yes.
So, and it's added to every year approximately
that. It's totally independent of this.
It's not reflected.
So you're telling me there's no accounting entry that took place when we actually received custody of the money?
From the county?
Because we'd already counted it as in our custody. We'd reserved it with this annual reservation in accordance with the legislative agreement from 2007. And we actually showed it cash on hand, and our auditor said it's okay, it's in the county's custody. But then the county kind of tried to take it even after we showed it on our books?
No, that's not right.
Sir,
that's not right.
The bond reserve or the building fund is captured separately. This is not...
The building fund was, you could put a column back, if you had the building fund on this sheet, you could put a column back in 2013 or 2012 and it would have that other $16 million in it already. This additional $16 million is what we got from the county this year.
But Mars indicated early on in the conversation that the $21 million at the top of the gray column included the $16.
It's 16 million.
Not that 16. The 16 we got this year is what's included in that gray column. That's what we got after we settled with the county, and then they're starting to pay us again.
We have an estimate of 14 million. What is this, the bond reserve fund?
So we basically have $32 million we're talking about. $16 million had already been sitting and is in another budget. Had nothing to do with the transfer from the county, and the $16 million that had transferred from the county is what's reflected in here, and there's a different $16 million that has nothing to do with the transfer from the county. Is that what we're saying?
That's what I
didn't understand until just now.
And that's what we're going to have to reflect on this when we bring it up for the board. We'll change this slide.
Okay.
So that that's a separate slide like we did before with those reserve funds. So if you look at it, the $16 million that we got from the county went into the top of the gray one at $21 million. And then we transfer, looks like $3.5 million into the building fund during...
Out of that 16.
So there's 260. That's correct.
Adding to an already existing close to 16. So the building fund, if we saw the graph, would be 18, 19 million bucks.
$16.5 million.
Including this $3.5 brought it to 16.
Right. Yeah. Oh, it brought it to 16.
So it was like 12 or something.
Was it 3.5? And not $1.3 million, just to make up years that we had not transferred over. I'm wondering why that was a little high.
It's 1/14 of the
of what we got?
Go ahead.
It was a retroactive.
Okay.
Once we got the retroactive pay,
okay,
we put in the transfer retroactively. That should have gone to the bond reserve.
What?
just think of it this way, just to make it simple. The county shorted us 2 years in a row.
Same. How much?
It was a total of $16 million.
And that represented...
We sued them.
Why did they short us? What were they thinking?
They felt we had...
Enough money.
Enough money.
And so they took part of our property tax proceeds.
They took part of our property tax.
Easy for them to do because they have custody.
Exactly. And so after losing the lawsuit, they paid us back retroactively. And that's the
$16 million.
But the building fund had been transferred...
And that was never
1 point something million over several years to be at $13 million when we picked this additional $3.5 million up.
In the years put it at $16 million. In the years that the county shorted us, did we put 1/14 of our property tax revenue?
Well, we put 1/14 of what we collected. So say they were supposed to pay us $15 million, but they only paid us $5 million. We only put 1/14 of the $5 million. So when they paid us back the additional...
$16 million, we should have put 1/14
of it, which is why you see it so much higher than the other years.
That's why this number is so high.
Okay.
Please change the draft.
So that we have the separate reserve fund.
Have show general budget.
Or just say
building fund.
Or just say
separate
it.
That would
help. You know what we should do? I think to be clear is to do the proprietary funds first.
Right.
Explain that this is money that's in the bank, and then go through this chart. Mm-hmm. So that there's no confusion as to what that $16 million right there was.
Yeah,
right.
That would work too.
Now, just a quick question. There's $18 million difference in budgeted revenue for 2014 versus estimated. Why such a big number? I see $76 million versus $58.
I know that answer.
I do too.
Good. Well, I...
That's because
you had a party.
No.
We anticipated receiving the money from the county
in 2014.
Yeah. So essentially the difference between the gold and the gray column is that we've moved money from revenue to opening fund balance.
That's right.
And I suspected that after the conversation we just had. But
yeah, so if you take that $16 million and add it to the 4.7 in the gold column, that's why it equals about $21 million.
The bottom is at the end of the fiscal year 14, we're going to have approximately in the operating budget a reserve of about $13.5 million.
That's correct.
And that's a little bit better than what was anticipated with the budget before.
A lot better than what we anticipated, actually.
Okay, just let me get one more whack in on the dead horse. I'd been under the impression that the dispute with the county was the building fund, but it wasn't.
It wasn't a building fund.
It was just an arbitrary...
One of the disputes was the right of us to own
the
building.
Like how much they needed to balance their budget every year, basically? Is that kind of...
Say that one more time, the right
of... Was the amount of the money that they withheld from us calculated because that was what they needed to balance their budget every year? Was it calculated or was it arbitrary?
Part of what the county always argued was that they didn't like the way we were using it. So they didn't like the fact that we were taking a portion of it and putting it into our building bucket. But that wasn't the only reason they withheld the whole amount.
They withheld more than just that. More than the 1.14.
Did they give us any calculation about how they decided how much to give us? Was it calculated?
It was reflective.
They just stopped. Once there was a lawsuit, they just stopped paying us all together. They just said, we don't have to do this.
At one of the county commissioner meetings, there was a discussion about our reserve fund balance, the requirement that we stay at 16.5 or 16.6, and that was too high. And so they calculated so that it would bring our balance down to what they thought was appropriate.
My guess is that they also saw that we had a lot of money in the building fund that they thought that we could put into operations instead. Am I correct there?
Right, because the very next year they transferred money out of our fund, out of the building fund, into the general fund.
For you.
For us, yes.
Without any authorization.
Correct. And ultimately, they had to put it back, and that's when we got a little bit more.
So how do you think you're going to present this to the board now?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'll first go through the reserve fund so that everybody understands it's a reserve fund.
It's a building.
Including the building fund. Because there are actually
five. But say, we're hearing building all the time. So, and okay. Not all, when you say reserve, define reserve. So it's got building and everything else that you got.
Well, actually, each one of these are funds in reserve.
Then, you know, then so make that the way you
bring
it. I would appreciate.
Yeah.
One more question, and that's and you may have covered this at the board meetings, but why not? Why are we not transferring funds to the lab?
The lab was originally when the lab was originally started. Mm-hmm. It had funding,
right?
So that it was self-funded,
right?
And that fund has gradually decreased over the course of the years because the operating expenses of the lab are higher than what that fund was. So that as a board, what we recognized when we were putting together the 2015 budget is that there was going to be a shortfall of $500,000 because that fund was shrinking. However, by the time we got to the end of 2014, you can see that with the estimate in the numbers that we're presenting to the auditor, we don't have that shortfall. So we're not going to have to make that donation of $500,000. However, the laboratory fund, it will be at zero balance by the end of this year, so that end of 2015, so that when we get to 2016, we are anticipating in this scenario fully funding the laboratory.
Okay, all right. I just wondered why we didn't expect to do anything in 2015, and it sounds like it's just that
we budgeted to do that, but the lab performed better, and there were a whole bunch of initiatives undertaken during the course of this past 6 months to make that happen.
We recognized that there was this deficit. We put in a whole bunch of cost-saving measures.
Okay.
So we've looked at overtime, we've looked at on-call pay, okay. We've looked at holding positions open and a variety of other things. And so that's one of the reasons why you see the budgeted for 15 of 6.1 million in fund balance.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we project now is because of those savings and a variety of other things, including the grants that we've talked about. And we put in there a 3% bump in the $80-$10, which is what the county suggested that we do. So the difference between those two are our cost-saving measures. About $500,000 of that approximately $3 million goes towards savings that we made at the lab, not as much expenditure as we want. As we had projected, and then the other $2 to $2.5 million was in this, where we just in the general fund, where we didn't fill positions, we're paying less overtime, we're not doing on call, we cut back on travel. So that's one of the reasons why you see the, if you just look at the end fund balance percent, what you all passed and gave us permission to go to was 9.9%, because that's what we projected before we actually paid all of our bills and reconciled the accounts for 14. Once we've done that and then Mars has incorporated the new grants and a variety of other things, that's what bumps it up to 16.5%. That's the new projected for percentage for 15. And we think that that's going to be more accurate. And if I may add on to that, there may be other changes. This projection for FY15 only includes the grants we know we have now.
Okay.
There are a couple of other grants that are pending that may increase this to the better as well.
What's the maximum dollars if you were successful in securing the outstanding grants that you could add to the budget?
It's
ballpark.
Millions.
2.2 million for a home visiting grant and another 1.5 million in HIV from 16 and 17.
And Cassius?
I think That's it.
Okay, sorry.
So we're talking $3.5-4 million of our
could,
stuff.
Right, but remember,
could more grants come too?
Those are the ones. Well, we might get more. We might get notification of more grants, so we will apply for them. But let me add that that doesn't just add on to the revenues; it also will add on to the expenses.
Right. Oh, I guess. Right.
Yeah. So even though we might, let's say, we get $3 more million, it may be a wash. It may be a wash. Yeah.
Just curious. Maybe a deficit.
I got one more question. So Mars, we've got budgeted and projected the first two yellow columns.
Yes, sir.
1.35 million transferred to bond reserve.
Yes, sir.
Is the number you just showed me on your phone before or after that 1.35?
That was before these numbers.
Okay.
And this is only just transfer for that year, so it will be added into the balance that I showed you, sir.
Right. So we would end up at the end of this year someplace around 16 and a quarter, 16 and a half in the building fund.
As of the end of June 30, 2014, we have $15 million sitting in there.
Right.
Except that we plan to buy the building.
Except that we're going to buy it. So that's my next question, and it's kind of a highlight of my thoughts when I sit at a board meeting, but we're not, or maybe we're going to, addressing it head on. What's your building going to cost? How much money do we have set aside to pay for it?
So it's okay for us to jump around on the agenda because that's the second thing. So
no, let's just let them continue it.
Well, we can. I don't think there's anything
to do. Well, I've got a question about the outstanding grants.
Okay. You mean the ones that we've applied for but haven't yet gotten notification of?
The ones you've received, are they from the same kinds of organizations?
That we always do, generally, yes.
Do they allow, what is the range of administrative overhead they allow in those grants?
Varying.
It's varying.
From zero
to 10% approximately.
10 maximum, maybe?
But you might recall that what we've talked about over this last year was that we don't have any general fund left, any 80-10 dollars to put into supporting these grants. So if we can get, let's say, a maximum of 10% back on a grant, that doesn't begin to cover the 25%. I'm just explaining so that everyone understands. And so what I've asked them to do is to look at what normally would be indirect expenses. That, and let's just go through some of the ranges. Building costs or lease costs, utilities, personnel like in IT, in finance, in informatics, in epidemiology, and so on. And so take some of those things that used to be or are normally in the indirect and put them as a direct expenses in your grants. And Bonnie has done that, and Cassius has done that for his grants.
Having done that, how much administrative overhead are they allowed after you've done that? Is it zero?
It's still the same.
Still up to
about 9 to 10%.
Yeah.
Something
like that.
But that's in it.
But you raise another question, too, because some of the grants, like the Pitch Grant we got, that was $2.6 million, over 50% had to be allocated to the community, in addition to the 10% cap for indirect costs. So those are other challenges.
I'm just learning about what kind of grants you guys are applying for. That's all.
That's a health education grant that he's talking about.
I got you.
And that's why the requirements are to invest in the community, give it to other organizations. The HIV grant does that.
And we're getting about 44% administrative when I consider indirect plus direct, and that's state money. So they give us a lot of that.
And is this a fairly recent practice?
Yes. Well, for us, yes.
Yeah, for us.
No?
Well, it depends. I mean, you know, we take the indirect whenever we can. Unfortunately, we have to go through the state. They keep it and won't give it to us. So if you can do anything about that, that would be very much appreciated.
Are all of these grants applied for through the state?
No. We do pretty well when we can do a federal grant. But then some federal grants will say 10% maximum. Some will let you have a little more. It just depends if it's HRSA or if it's CDC or if it's Office of Population Affairs. Or it just depends on who you're dealing with.
But Bonnie is also mentioning that there are some grants that we can put in the indirect, but the state
takes it.
And so we don't get any direct to indirect.
That's right.
And so that's one of the reasons why I've asked that they put what used to be indirect, like informatics, epidemiology, into the direct column because that helps to maximize our ability to cover our 80-10 expenses.
So I would offer the two of you, I think, a cautionary tale. It's very short, unusual for me. In something like 2005 or 2003, we had a, the state had a periodic, infrequent audit from GAO and decided that we had been overly aggressive in allocating overhead costs to direct costs of Medicaid, and we had to write $1 million check. So you can get...
It works both ways.
It works both. That's exactly right. It works both ways.
That was Medicaid.
Correct.
That was CMS.
Big money. Yeah. Big pie.
So we'll get back then to the building fund after we finish this.
Yep.
Okay. I think we're finished with the first page, Andy.
Yeah. Okay. Scenario B, which is page 2. And we'll be concentrating on the changes that are occurring within the proprietary fund, which is the laboratory, the bond reserve fund, which is the building fund, and then this sinking fund, which has not yet been established. But as you can see, what we're doing is, as in scenario A, keeping the laboratory funding at full funding in 2016 and 50% funding in 2017, while at the same time with the building fund, the bond reserve fund, we are keeping our contribution the same for 2015 and 2016, but then making no contribution in 2017.
Because we'll have bought it.
We'll have bought it, we'll have done our renovations, and we are now no longer in, we're no longer building, for that building, I should say.
And now we're up to about 17,750,000.
Yeah, that'd be about
2016
right,
building.
Correct, because of that contribution in 2016, that's correct.
But is the building only going to cost that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And that, those are the projections that we have so far from the architects and the engineers that have gone through what our needs are, what the cost of the building is, and all the stuff that needs to go with it. Any questions on this? And as you can see, what this does is this changes our ending fund balance percentage. And that's one of the things that we paid a lot of attention to with the board, in that the board recommendation, let me back up, the NAC requirement is that we have a minimum of 4%. And the board resolution, which was passed, I don't know how many years ago, many years ago, is 16.6% to 25%. So that you can see what's happening here, though, is that that percentage is actually decreasing as we go through in time. And that's what we pay attention to. Any questions on this?
But it has increased from scenario A to scenario B for the end of 17.
So do all the scenarios get better and better?
Well, so they change.
You almost need to have a short presentation on what sinking funds are and what they're for philosophically before we get to these numbers. But carry on.
Okay.
You know, because you suggested it.
Do you understand?
Well, basically a depreciation fund. That's what
I'm saving
it.
Up for replacing our building.
Correct. Saving up, for
just
major
like
repairs.
How we got to here.
Right.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Right. It's just that we're contributing at a much lesser rate. Right now we're doing the 1/14th, and with the sinking fund, it's actually the cost of the building, a percentage of the cost.
50 years, so that we give you the yearly. Yeah.
Is it okay to call it a depreciation fund? I mean, is that appropriate?
Actually, that's a recommendation you could make here.
See, to me,
but then everyone would know what it's for.
I know, but that would mean less questions.
You know how long we accountants took to come up with these names?
To obfuscate?
Yes.
I would suggest you make the language as clear as possible for the layman.
The sinking fund.
This committee is no fun.
Speaking as a doctor who talks to patients.
Honestly, that's how I look at privacy. I look at depreciation as a whole other definition than what this would be.
What's the dollar amount that's sitting in the overall fund for that's the reserve?
For which
one? Yeah, in the bond reserve. You know, and, well, I can show you.
That's a different table, right?
Yeah. I can show you, Ken, what we have in the budget that was passed.
That's our next.
Yeah, are we going to always have 16, 17 million bucks sitting in there?
No, we're going to have zero.
If we go to zero, can we buy the building?
Yeah. But then we need to build up a reserve again to buy another building.
That's what the sinking fund is for.
And so at the end of the 17, the projected at the end of 17 in scenario B, we're going to have 4 million bucks sitting in there?
In our general fund ending fund balance.
Yeah.
How much are we going to have sitting in our reserve?
Hopefully by then we'll have spent our reserve on a building. We will own a building free and clear.
And
be able to free up that component of our operating expenses that is currently our lease or rent payments and put it into program costs.
I suggest.
Or put it into the reserve that we're going to need for.
Or put it into the future building fund.
Right.
Okay. For future expansions.
Well, okay, any questions on B?
And don't be afraid to correct me if I go astray.
Okay.
We did already.
I know.
We had to strap you down.
Well, you know, what was really good, though, was to see that you did not understand our reserve funds and how we have those set up.
And that's key. And that's because I had, until today, been laboring under the impression that the $16 million from the county was the building fund.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's not.
And it's not. It's retroactive.
But we'll put that up there first so that everybody understands. Those are reserve funds that we have set aside in each one of those funds, and they're separate. That's not what we're talking about.
We're talking about
the general operating fund.
And so the big question hanging over this organization is, will we bring in our building for $16.5 or $17 million?
That's the big question. And that's the next agenda item.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's D? Well, it's C.
Okay, the changes in C that you can see are that we fully fund the laboratory in 2016 and provide no funding in 2017. If you remember, if you look back in B, you saw that we were funding it at 50%. You'll also see in that our bond reserve fund is not being funded in 2017, but that we have finally put some money into this sinking fund or depreciation fund, whatever we decide to call it, to the tune of $393,000. And that number is based upon the cost of the building. And at this point, we have to project what that's going to be. But we
over
project,
its lifetime?
Divided by 50. So you take the cost divided by 50 because that's the life of the building that we expect to have, and that's where this $393,000
comes from. Does this scenario C then assume that the lab becomes self-sufficient?
Well, it could happen one of two ways.
That's
the assumption we want it to be, but whether or not it will be, that's the big question.
It's giving us options and flexibility. That's why the different scenarios.
You know,
no reason why it can't.
But also, it also gives you something that you can tell others who can provide funding for the lab that funding is needed, because otherwise, not solvency, but it affects the overall physical picture of the
whole district.
So in some ways, it's good to force the issue.
And I think one of the things that Dr. Eiser's always been very forthright with is telling us that, you know, that we're talking about programs and services being affected. You know, there are certain things that we can control and certain things that we can't control. And if we are diligent, if we continue on the path that we are with making our changes in how this place operates, we will end up with an organization that has what it needs to operate, but at the expense of the laboratory. You know, either the laboratory finds a way to
become self-funded, in other words, if they receive enough money from grants and things, or the laboratory is not going to exist from our perspective because we're not going to be contributing to it.
The other option is that other programs, for example, non-mandated programs, we could start to fund less. And so, I mean, there are options. The laboratory, I think, is one that none of us wants. I don't want to give up. I don't think any of us do. But it's an easy example because at the end of this year, it will fall fully on the general fund, whereas in years past, including this year, it hasn't. So that's why it's used as an example or a surrogate for anything else.
And then finally, in scenario D, the big changes are that we will not be funding the laboratory at all in 2017. We will not be making any transfer into the building fund, and that the sinking fund is there. So those are all just different scenarios of what can happen.
Well, the only things is let's talk about what ifs. So what we budgeted in this is a 3% increase annually in 8-10. So there's been a lot of growth in the valley, and so there'll be new properties coming on to the tax rolls. So it may be 4% or 5%, and that's only going to help our revenues, the plus side of us. I think that there will be an effort by the political entities to do away with the cap on property tax increases or to increase the cap on property tax increases. And if that happens, all of us who get property tax will benefit from that as well. Right now, the cap is about 3%, I think.
I just had this discussion with our city people today. The cap is for commercial property, the smaller of 8% or... And it's the or that ends up being 3%, ends up being twice the CPI.
Okay.
And that's the piece they're going to try to correct.
So if that happens, then the city will be benefited, the county will be benefited, we will be benefited, and anyone else who gets property taxes will be benefited throughout the entire state. Should we get more grants? And I think the only ones that we have right now going are Bonnie's. Should we get those? Again, that will help us with all of these bottom lines because we'll save the $80-$10 by putting more of our current FTEs to do the work that the grant asks us to do.
In your sense, are we not adequately funding any of our core services?
Yes, I agree.
Not that it needs to be thought right now.
But yeah, we've had these discussions.
If there are core services that are being underfunded and we're not serving the public as we should be, if that could be looked at and just begun to be described for us at some future time.
I can describe it for you now. Virtually everything. I don't think we're doing as much clinical stuff as what we think we should be doing and would like to be doing. We're not doing enough restaurant inspections, in my opinion. We're not doing vector control.
I was going to ask, are we doing any vector control?
We do the surveillance. We're not doing much, but over the next 2 days, we're having conference calls with the political entities and the school district about developing a strategic plan to work with the county to do a full vector control service. We do not have enough in epidemiology. We don't have enough disease investigators. We don't have enough anymore in finance because we laid off people from finance and HR. Almost everything we do, we're underfunded. And this is an extension of the discussion that we had at the board meeting over the last year, in that we are probably the least well-funded health jurisdiction in the state in terms of percentage that comes from property taxes. The state is like 50th out of 50 in terms of what the state gives any of us. So we're woefully underfunded. And part of that is that we live on two legs of a three-legged stool. So we get property tax. We don't get sales tax, but we do. But there is no income tax. And if you don't have one of those three, the services almost invariably have to be cut in some way. Texas is the same way. Oregon is the same way, except that because they don't have sales tax. Washington doesn't have income tax. But even the states that are like us better fund public health than this state does. I think they probably better fund education than this state does. And I think that I'm not going to advocate for whatever that margins tax is, but I would guess that some of our industries are not taxed appropriately.
All I was suggesting is that because of what we can deliver, we are potentially endangering the public from vector control, stuff like that.
Or
if at some point in time you could just identify just the general services that we may not be having enough inspectors on. Now, why do I bring up vector control? I just happen to be among a bunch of people who have never been checked for their pools, things like that, who I'm quite confident are having some issues. And they're very happy that the county is not paying any attention, or the health district hasn't been able to pay attention to it. Where I'm coming from is...
Where are you at?
I'm in the west
where
side.
Where are you at?
I'm in the west
right
side.
Write this down, Jackie.
All I'm just bringing up is that I'm on a board that's supposed to protect the public. I'd like to know what we're missing, what we feel we're short in being able to protect the public. I'm not saying the price. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying the subject matter. And that would be helpful to me when I just get people talking.
And we are actually having a senior staff retreat on the 29th or 30th, and I think that's one of our discussion items, along with accreditation and other things.
The water district has the same issue.
Excuse me.
But I'm just saying, that's all I'm suggesting. I would not put this as a high priority.
Yeah. I think it is a high priority, but we can't buy up the water rights in Elko County and dig a tunnel and bring it down here. I'm making fun of the Water Authority.
I know.
Because they can.
All I'm just suggesting is that...
It's only Ely, and my mom told me a million times not to exaggerate. It's not all the way to Elko.
It's not all the way to Elko. Right. You're right. It is White Pine, isn't it?
Yeah.
What can you describe for me... I assume that spending is staying flat.
Which scenario are you looking at?
They're all consistent.
In totally operating expenses.
In operating expenses is the combination of a reduction in rent and lease and facilities expense and a increase in compensation costs.
That's correct.
Okay.
And they're all included within this.
And correct. Let's see, now there's more info. And an increase in FTEs.
Because we have to hire additional people to do some of the work that our grants are requiring us to do.
And that's in here.
Well, that should be under the total operating expenditures.
Right.
And all we can do is estimate as best we can.
But what sometimes with this kind of analysis, we'll see a listing of assumptions gone into the total operating expenditures lines. So we're assuming a 3% wage growth. We're assuming, starting in 2016, that we're not going to be paying rent anymore. We're assuming that we're bumping up FTEs by this amount and that date.
Actually, there is such a packet put together. Okay. You just don't have it. If you'd like to have that, we could share that as we do.
Or we can.
I'll look it over. I don't know if anybody else has an interest. I'll be happy to look it over.
But you're right. It's a 3% increase in 8010. 2.5% increase for two-thirds of our employees on an annual basis for a step increase, and modest increases in FTEs related to the grants.
Is there modest increases in revenue related to the grants?
Oh, yeah, significant.
Yeah.
Significant.
Well, yeah, the only revenue that we really have a tough time with is our medical billing. That's the one where we have a tough time. So that's flat, based on what we
just because we don't know. But this right. is an area of new focus.
It's right. an area of current focus. Bonnie mentioned that the state has applied for some money,
no,
or will be giving us.
The state received an immunization grant, and they're contracting with Immunize Nevada, and we believe there are at least two FTEs in there for us to have some billing help down here to
are looking at options for the EHR and billing related to that,
right.
Contracting out the billing service.
The problem with billing nationally is public health is finding it very difficult to get a seat at the table. They don't know how to look at us, and everyone is struggling in the nation. You know, they don't know. Well, they'll say like things like, "Oh, you get county tax dollars. You know, you shouldn't. Why are you billing us?" You know, and now it's really a lot of education that we need to do with the third party payers to try to get us to be recognized for the services.
And what we are working with Dan on is to look at getting all of the health jurisdictions as in, what's the right phrase, inside the a network.
Be in network instead of on network.
Biller.
And, we've had our very first discussion, right? I hope I didn't confuse everybody.
No, not at all. We actually only have five contracts that we have right now, including Medicaid, which is going to be our biggest payer. But then there are only four other contracts that we have signed with insurance companies. And that's a huge challenge because you have such a spread of insurers that are covering people in the valley. And they come to see us.
But United Healthcare is our biggest provider down here. They're not doing contracts with anyone nationally. I think Arizona is the only one who's able to get anything out of United Healthcare.
Well, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes.
I don't know that compel them. I don't know if there's a resource for you to benefit from. We are contracting out our billings for our EMS carriers to a billing company out there.
That's exactly the thing that we're looking
that's
at,
we're
is
looking
having
at.
A third-party biller in to do that for us. You know, we're doing a great job with the single staff person that we have right now.
I would not want to be that person.
Well, and the other thing is following up on those billings, too. You know, it's one thing to push a bill out, but then it's
going to get paid.
Back end study, right.
And what I found in other jurisdictions is that when you do have a billing department, you train them, they learn all the codes, and then they get a better job at a hospital or some other place. And so rather than go through that cycle, I'd rather contract it out personally. And I think all of us would.
But, you know, the thing we really have to be cautious about is we have a very large percentage of our population who's not documented, and as a result of that, they are not eligible for insurance. And so we still
or
have
Medicaid.
To be cognizant of the fact that you know, communicable disease doesn't care what your pay status is. So we still have an obligation to take care of that population in our community because it affects all of us.
It affects all of us.
So, you know.
And that's what 8010 is for.
Right.
One of the many reasons that 8010 is for. So, given that, I wrote down someplace a couple of notes. Is the things that Andy, were you finished? I apologize.
Yes, that's it.
So, the things that we talked about to you in terms of these four scenarios is the bond reserve fund and what should we continue to put into that. A longer term decision is once we buy the building, and that's going to be the next agenda item, is do we continue to fund it because. Should we buy another building in East Las Vegas and stuff breaks? So should we continue to fund it and at what level? The proprietary fund, which is the laboratory fund, what should we fund it at what level? We can give you a good recommendation for that. We can give you a recommendation for the bond reserve fund, but it's really what you all want to do. And then do you want to continue to have a board policy of an end fund balance of 16.6 to 25? I know, according to what Tim said, that's what NALBO suggests. Or are you willing to settle for 10%? Because then that gives us a little bit more flexibility to be able to not save that extra 6.6, but put it into programs or into buildings or put it into any of the other things we have to do.
You know, the probably the only pushback, and you can start thinking about the pushback you're going to get from the board, is that having such a high reserve balance really held us over through the period that we had our difficulties with the county.
It did.
Now, hopefully we'll never have a thing like that happen again, but if something happens, it was vital that that be that high.
Well, and actually, if you go back to the budget for 14, we had 20% then. Yeah. And before that, we had additional. We've been in deficit budgeting for at least 4 years.
Yeah.
So at some point, we were probably at 25% or higher.
Yeah. And even on top of that, even though that it, thank goodness that we had that reserve, it was still a very painful year this past year.
Yes,
it was all the reduction in force and all the changes that we had to make across the board throughout the district. So thank goodness we had that in reserve.
Well, and if you mentally project 2018,
yeah.
Well, and the reserve is there for emergencies as well. You know, if we, God forbid, were to have something happen with Ebola in the valley, it's there to help with that kind of thing as well.
That's correct.
So it's not
absolutely
that the 4% that's in the NAC may not be appropriate for
it's not
our needs. You know, the things that may hit us.
4% is to make sure you have cash in the bank to write the checks in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, so what people need to recognize that is.
Yeah, people need to recognize that though. There's a big difference between 4
and we are so unique here.
What we need.
Of what we're potentially exposed to.
We could develop a new fund. What we've been doing with TB this year, norovirus this year, Ebola right now, is that we're taking it out of the operating fund. There's no other place to take it from. We could put together a fund that is an emergency fund and take all of these things out and then replenish it at the end of a year, like what we've been doing with the proprietary fund. There are a variety of ways to try to do that. And Bonnie, you have to remind me, but I think we spent $750,000 last year on TB alone.
And that was just for the high schools.
Yeah. So that can be very expensive.
Terminology makes such a difference when people think it's a good fund or a bad fund. Try and come up with a name for it that
the good fund. I like that.
Maybe response fund or
contingency.
Well, contingency people sweep and pull it away. You don't need it.
It's state law defines for the state anyway, rainy day funds. I don't know if that's also accommodated in 288 or not. That's another consideration to having money around, is that 288 generally does not smile upon having money around.
Yeah, that's right. So there needs to be a recognition that the money is in that fund because we don't need it for our day-to-day uses, but it needs to be there for us to be able to provide the community with the, what they expect, what they need.
That might be a legislative initiative.
Oh,
we don't
golly.
Have, yeah, the state has a rainy day fund, but all we have is a rainy day fund balance.
And I've never read the rainy day fund law. Is it restricted only to the state?
I think it applies to the state. I don't know of any local government that has a rainy day fund. What they do is they try to leave their rainy fund balance at a level, you know, it's the state starts looking at you, as been said earlier, starts looking at you very, very hard when you're in the 4-5%. Obviously, you want to double that. You want to look at a couple of months of operating revenue and what that means as to what, and that's usually how local governments look at what an ending fund balance or rainy day fund would be. But I don't believe there's, we have an ability to
get you onto that.
The only other fund to look at is the capital fund. And we don't see it here, but we have about $6.5 million in the capital fund. We're not adding to it. It's just been stable for the last couple of years. But in that fund is money for an ERP.
This is a what?
What's
emergency
response?
No, it's Enterprise Resource ERP.
Enterprise
software.
There you go.
It's software to tie all of our programs together.
Right.
We've got money in there that supports NetSmart and the implementation of NetSmart for Bonnie, Decade, and the implementation of Decade for
Jackie.
And the fleet, and likely some refreshes on computers at some point.
Exactly. So how long is that going to last?
That's going to last until we spend it. We'll be spending some for Bonnie and Jackie this year, and once we figure out, there's $3 million in there for the enterprise fund, And if we can get it for $2 million, that's another $1 million that we can put someplace else. But we won't know that until we get that costed out. And we're getting ready to go out on a, with an RFP on that.
Soon. And we're putting the finishing touches on it right now.
And what will the enterprise, what are we asking for with that?
That ties our systems together. Right now, we've got, for Shirley, we've got a personnel system that doesn't quite match up with Mars's. We've got a payroll system that is, a lot of it is done by hand, and it needs to be automated and coordinated. So the county has one, the cities have one, and they've been, I believe Mars and his staff have been talking to the city and the county about trying to buy into their systems, because I think that's going to be cheaper, but there may be some restrictions as to whether we can do that.
Now, I thought like 2 or 3 years ago we were talking about purchasing or acquiring a new payroll system.
Did that's correct.
Ever
no,
happen?
We didn't. Not a payroll system.
There was a time.
Timekeeping. Thank you.
We never bought it.
Okay.
We built
IT
our own.
Built its own, and it took several years to get it to work right. There have been questions about it since I've been here. It now is working right. If the employees input it correctly, it will work correctly. I'm correct on that, right?
That's always the challenge.
But it took 6 months, not my efforts, but it took 6 months after I got here, or 8 months, for us to work out all the kinks. So that's the only other kind of flexible fund that I think we really have.
So tell us about the building.
Okay. do you want to do any actions on any of this, or do you just want to say that you...
No, I consider this a test run for you guys, and you saw where we got confused and why. So you know how to modify your presentation to address that up front.
So when you give the report, you can say that you listened to our...
I can say Andy's name.
You say Andy confused the heck out of you, and you put him straight, and so it's your suggested changes are in the new presentation.
Right.
Okay.
Which Andy will make.
Before you close that, the two of us... We're suggesting that if you do present something for an emergency fund, the word emergency and reserve, emergency services, the word services might be understandable.
Outbreak services.
We won't present this next month.
Of course not.
But this would be for the budget for 16.
For 16.
And we're getting
emergency services, you can just call it. But everybody will say if Ebola came to town. You know.
I think it would be a legislative discussion, Dan, about the legislature granting health districts in counties larger than 400,000 or whatever the ability to create emergency services reserve
fund.
And short of that, it's why our ending balance percentage needs to be as high as it is.
I agree.
It's for that purpose.
It's for that purpose. If we don't have a separate fund for it, we need to have it in our ending balance.
And getting authorization to have that kind of a separate fund is probably far easier than actually figuring out what we're going to stop doing so that we can fund our new emergency liability fund. Those would be considered two separate things by the legislature, I think.
Before we leave this agenda item, the only other thing, you cannot discuss this, but Tim asked us...
That's not on the agenda.
But we can hand it out. I can't discuss it. Thank you.
One other thing to keep in mind, and I agree that probably has to be a legislative thing, but as soon as you can do it without the legislature, it just doesn't bring into the realm of possibility other things that can come up that can get really messed up. So as soon as you go to the legislature, you never know what's going to come up.
That's true.
However, if we just did it, which we would have the board authority to do, it would be subject to being spent under 288.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why you want to get legislative protection.
Yeah, that's true. Good luck.
Is that something we can try for in this cycle, or is it too late now?
This cycle's
never out.
Too late.
Until the chair is, Councilman Beers, I'll ask this of the group. Isn't that though with the ruling that we kind of received from the county, from the court, based on what the county is doing? based on my testimony as an accounting employee, that the fact that they gave us the 3.5 cents to do with what we thought was appropriate for the operations of the health district, doesn't that give us the opportunity to build the fund as we deem necessary, our ending fund balance? And I don't think they have any way to play the games that was played in the past.
The county doesn't, but
I don't. The legislature doesn't have the ability to sweep funds from.
No, what we'd be seeking would be to have that emergency fund protected under 288.
But what I'm saying is what lack of protection do we have to have an ending fund balance at whatever level we want to have, other than responding to all of you that sit on our board as to why we want it the way we want it. What I'm saying
Repeat what I think you said?
Sure.
As a non-legislator, what I think you said is there was a court order and a court determination that said that we, as the health district of the Southern Nevada Health District, could have any kind of reserve we want to create that's about 3.5%. Is that what you said?
No. What I'm saying is the law says that we should not have an ending fund balance less than 4%. There is no cap, however, on what we want our ending fund balance to be.
There is. Negotiations.
Understood. But if you are answering to your constituency, whether it be employees, whether it be you as elected officials, whether it be your constituents, as to the reasons we are building up a reserve fund, who then can touch it? There is no, I don't think there's any statutory other than what the county tried to do that they were stopped from doing.
I think your point is well taken. In part because we only have one bite at the apple. We have the property tax, period. Unlike Metro, who can go to the city and to the commission if they need extra money, there's no other place for us to go. So if our grants dry up, we dry up. If our 80-10 dries up, we dry up. The fact that we are exposed to potential outbreaks at any given point in time requires us to have a certain operational fund that allows us to manage prudently. And I think that is the argument for a higher than normal ending fund balance, and that is in large part because of the nature of who we are. We're not like any other jurisdiction. We're not like any other local entity. We are public health, and our mandate is broad and expansive and ever expansive. We have to be able to operate as prudently, effectively, efficiently as possible, planning for contingencies that we can't plan for. And I think that's what you were referring to.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm saying is, again, if you choose to justify a larger than normal ending fund balance, again, you've talked about all the reasons that we need to have that. And when you sit down with your negotiations with your bargaining unit, you sit down and say, look, there are appropriate levels of compensation that employees receive, and it shouldn't be contingent upon what our ending fund balance is, because, again, we have a very unique situation in that something could happen tomorrow and we need $16 million yesterday.
But NRS 288 specifically unprotects that money. If the government has the ability to pay, if it has cash, then the arbitrator can, and historically, although times are changing, does build it into wages.
If it's not in a restricted fund, the arbitrator can do that. If we put it in a restricted fund, he can't touch it. The arbitrator can't touch it.
So we can make a contingency fund ourselves that is protected under 288?
Well, the enterprise fund is restricted to a certain extent.
The only reason I'm bringing all this up is again, just as Gordon McCauley talked about, as you know, former Senator Beers, anytime we take something up to the legislature, we're open for, if we can do what we need to do within existing law and existing abilities, I would much rather see that, but I don't want the work up there.
With prudent justification for what we're doing.
And that still leaves us with the harder question of how we find money to put in it.
Right.
It all comes out of that one pot, the general fund.
Yeah. And grants.
But
well,
I think
grants are in the general fund.
With Medicaid expansion, and I think with potential the marijuana issues that are going on, I think we are putting ourselves in a position to have the additional revenue.
Be cautious, guys. I'm very familiar with the Accountable Care Act. I don't know if you guys know, but some people in this building helped write some of the words in the Accountable Care Act on preventive health care. The only reason preventable health care is in the Accountable Care Act is because of some language that was put in by Larry Sands. I don't know if you guys know that. But we do have language, and there is language in the Accountable Care Act, which is two acts, by the way, that allows for coverage of benefits that do relate, whether they're implementing it or not, is something else, but do relate to public health service, to to preventive health care services. And there's one negative that came out of the Accountable Care Act, and it wasn't written into the act, but it's an administrative decision that's happened in Washington, and that is that they're trying not to expand the number of people in general Medicaid. They're moving them into managed Medicaid. And the number of people who are actually being enrolled in this state in the general Medicaid that you guys have your contract, if I understand right, you have your contract with, right, is not expanding as much as those who are enrolling in Amerigroup and in United Healthcare, because they are trying deliberately to move them into those two programs and not general Medicaid.
So well, be no, very careful. In Clark and Washoe, every person that is a part of Medicaid expansion will be covered under managed care. That was mentioned earlier. We're already talking to working with Amerigroup to become one of their providers.
Oh, I understand.
And we're going to work with HPN as well.
Yeah.
Because there is a lack of providers, and we have an ability to provide services and get billed for it.
I'd be delighted if we pull it off.
So should we, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, let's talk about the building.
Yay.
Susan. Where to start? For the board presentation, I will have a setup. At the present time, we're still going through negotiation with the buyers and owners of the property. And when I say the buyers of the property, is that that is shifting it as we speak from what we came to the board with at the last board meeting. In that, when we came to the board last meeting, there was a buyer A that we were dealing with. Buyer A, for purposes of its own, decided to drop out of the picture, but there was a buyer B who came into the picture. And when I talk about buying, they're buying the non-target properties in that whole plaza area.
They're buying. I think wasn't the plan they were going to buy the whole thing and sell us the target, because that gets around the...
Correct. That's how we want to end up. Yeah. That's right. There now is a buyer C because of Target's request to be in there. So there's a buyer C that we are now dealing with. The whole reason and the importance of having a buyer for that whole property, as Bob just pointed out, is that there is currently an agreement, as exists in most plazas or retail developments, amongst all of the owners of the property, that only certain things and certain types of activities can occur within that plaza, and it's all related to retail. And by definition, there are actually two articles in that agreement that would expose us as owners, as an office owner, as well as an ill-defined medical operation of some type. So that in order to be able to buy the property and feel safe that we're not going to be sued or challenged by other members in that agreement, we had to have that document, which is called a CREA, or REA, Real Estate Agreement, changed to permit use by offices and specifically medical office uses. And we've had each one of those three owners, those three buyers, agree to doing that, but it's getting the final getting down to the final buyer who owns the entire property that becomes the important issue. Now, the complicating factor that enters into that is that Target is a separately owned freestanding property. In other words, it's not owned by the same owner. So we had to get Target to agree with the owner of the rest of the property, have that CREA all the same. And we're at that point now. We've got agreement amongst buyer C and amongst Target to make that happen.
this whole thing has taken time, and at the present time, we're being asked to expect a closing in 45 days. So rather than the end of October, we're going to be going into at least the middle of November.
How many square feet is this?
The Target building itself is about 107,000 square feet. The building itself...
We need all of it.
Yeah, we need 106,000 square feet. So it was actually perfect with that. Right, and that all goes along with it. So that's basically where we're at. I don't know if anybody wants to add anything else. What I'll do is I'll present a diagram showing where the properties are located and the different colors of the owners. We also were able to do a very favorable negotiation to be able to acquire four shops that are immediately adjacent to the Target building so that we get a little more space for elbow room and expansion and for uses that we have right now.
So are you going to be presenting to the board that request our approval again?
We did that last month.
Yeah. We did it, didn't we?
Yeah.
That's all done.
It'll just be an update of where things are at.
What's the cost?
For the Target building itself, it's the Target building plus the four shops, it's $6.5 million.
And then what, another six for renovation?
The renovations will run right around $10 million.
Okay.
So the $10 million plus the $6.5 is right at our, and that's why we feel that we need to continue with the reserve fund, the bond reserve fund, for one extra year so that we have that cushion.
That's a huge renovation as a percentage of purchase cost.
What's moving date?
Oh, yes, it is. Right. Yeah. Right.
What's moving date? To the point of being scary.
The move-in date, as it stands right now, with the architects and the engineers and working with the city, and we've been working very closely with the city development group, it is that we project moving in by the end of July of 2015. Now, with this slipping of the date of the closing, that might change a little bit. However, when we did our projections, we had a buffer in there of several months of continuing in this building and continuing our lease payments.
How long did we estimate it takes to get through the building department? Because typically on all the projects I've been involved in, that's the biggest stickler of all.
Well, we get special treatment.
Yeah, well, and that's where I'm heading with that.
I mean, it's really fantastic, Bobby. It really is. When the architect put it together, our plan, which is that July 31st of next year, he had built in 4 weeks to go through that approval process. We met with the city development office, and they said, just to be safe because of the fact that we have so many other building projects going on, you never know what's going to come in. You put in 2 weeks. However, typically, we see a turnaround of 2 to 3 days. I mean, they're just being fantastic in how they're working with us, not only from the standpoint of the plan review and also because it actually ends up being two properties because we have the shops, which is separate from Target, and having to have connections between the buildings. They're being very, very cooperative with us. And then on top of that is that the city development office also has redevelopment monies available to be able to help us with certain parts of the project, the exterior treatment, landscaping, parking lot, lighting, or some of the other things.
Doors.
Any of the permanently installed fixtures inside, the building improvements that we make inside.
So sewer, the water, plumbing lines, all the plumbing stuff that the city will be able to help us
only
with.
But still, it helps. Yeah. It's a big help. Yeah. And since we have two different properties, hopefully it's going to be $200,000.
Two different properties, two different applications. So Roland Sansom, who is the owner of the Boulevard Mall, has been lobbying us and the county commission, some of the county commissioners, to buy that property. As you saw at Andy's presentation last month, it's way more expensive. The operating costs are way more expensive on a monthly basis for lighting, security, and all that kind of stuff than what we would have. And so that's why we recommend, and you as a board approved us to go forward with this purchase. He wants to come back and maybe do a presentation And of course he can, but if we've already signed some sort of agreement by then, it may be moot. But it would be far more expensive. To your question about, or to your comment that it's a little bit scary that our building is this much, but our build-out costs are this much, we've looked at six other buildings. The build-out cost is always this much. So the difference is, do we overpay $18 million for the old IRS building and then put in $10 or $12 million? Do we over, comparatively, do we overpay for other properties? Whereas this one, we think, has been priced fairly reasonably.
Oh, I think it's a great deal.
It's a great purchase. And the build-out cost because of plumbing and all the things that we, and the TB clinic, all the things that we have to have that are special to us, costs us the same almost wherever we've looked at building it out.
Hopefully your demolition will be less because it's just a big wide open space.
It is. There'll be some interior demolition, but not a lot. That's absolutely correct.
And of course we're going to recycle all that stuff as I suggested.
Sure.
Yeah, we specifically asked for that in the contracts.
So do you all have other questions for Andy about or me about the buildings? What we hope to do, Andy, I think, is to show sort of a projected timeline of if we can close in 45 days, permitting,
right,
all those kinds of things, so that we want to be able to move in by as close to the end of this lease as possible.
When is this lease up?
July 31st of 15.
That's close.
Yeah. There is a current lease at 400 that's up in January 31st of 15, and we have talked to them. We've gotten a contract back from them on extending. We can't extend month to month. We have to extend for a full year, but we are consolidating space, so we're closing down some of the offices over there and bringing them into empty space here, which means a two-part move for that. That's out of Cassius's group, informatics and epidemiology. But that will save us, if we have to sign a contract for a full year at 400, that might save us $100,000 there.
Is the July 31st date of 2015 to move into that building, is that occupancy?
Yes.
So it's going to take a bit to move. So.
Right. So the actual construction we're looking at being done at the end of June.
Well, what I mean is it's going to take a bit to move everybody over there.
Right. Sure. Well,
but they're practiced now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if we do it right, we can have the constable come and evict us and help us move the boxes.
There you go.
Not when the county takes over, they wouldn't do that.
But there are other things that we can be doing in the meantime. So those four little shops, depending on what we want to design them for, we can move, those will be very easy to get permits and renovations on. They really have been open to the public until recently. One still is. So we could be moving part of our staff over there, depending on what we choose to put there, way before that.
Cool. Andy, did you have any discussions with the architect about the additional cost of you to become LEED certified in the new building?
Yeah.
Is it way prohibitive? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it might be, but I had
even
to ask.
They have a new terminology that they use now. LEED, what do they call it? LEED certifiable. Could be LEED certifiable. Mm-hmm. But he suggests that even with that, if you want to do it, you're really doing things that you don't normally have to do, and you're adding significant extra cost.
Okay, that brings us to agenda item 4, sub 4, discuss and approve recommendations to the Southern Nevada District Board of Health on October 23rd, 2014 regarding the fiscal 15 budget. And I think in this agenda item, it's anticipated that we would make some decisions about scenario A through D.
Correct. Potentially. Or combinations thereof.
And I'm not sure if the best way to do this is to go down through each of the three lines that are affected and discuss what we think we should do, see if we have a consensus. So
let me ask a question. Uh-huh. It appears to me that one of the major variations in the budget is the laboratory. Any confidence as to which of your budgets would best approach the laboratory as you project, or don't you have any idea?
Well, I don't think that we'll make any of them. our true options then are some combination of what we have projected being able to put in them or close the laboratory. I don't want to do that. I don't think anyone does. I don't think that's smart for, especially given my recent week's activities, that we should do that.
Yeah.
But I think I would probably recommend us funding, maybe if I can craft something that doesn't relate to this, is that recommend funding the laboratory at the maximal amount appropriate given other sources of revenue year by year. Does that make sense? That's English, but you know what I mean. So we get money in from one of the new grants that's going into the laboratory. We have money that goes from FEP into the laboratory. That's not reflected in here. It would be reflected in a budget for the laboratory. And that's why we, I guess, the full cost of the laboratory, in addition to that, is the $2.1 million. So what you might also put into a motion like that is that we put forward any effort necessary to increase reimbursement for laboratory services and or grant funding to minimize the cost of the laboratory on the general fund budget.
So the lab is an unknown right now.
Well,
so
we're going to
be somewhere between
Our agenda item is specific to 2015.
Right.
So the last two columns here are theoretical.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And so what we're talking about doing, I believe, is changing the current budget, right?
Yeah.
To reflect changes and things that have come along that weren't anticipated when we made that first budget.
That's correct.
So
we're voting on the gray one? Is that what you're saying?
Is one of our options to adopt the projection FYE 2015 as a new budget?
That really is the proposal.
Yeah, okay.
And they all look the same from A, B, C, and D. So
I so move.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. I kind of wanted to drag this out. Darn it.
Well, just so you know, that projection for 2015 is pending the auditor's findings, and we don't get those until November. So we can adopt this, but it still might be
changing it yet again. Yeah. Yeah.
With that caveat.
And the second agrees.
Do we have a clear motion for our records?
No.
Not at all. Can we restate that?
So I think a restatement of that motion would be it's been moved that we adopt the projection FYE 2015 column as a new budget for the current fiscal year, with the caveat that it is based on preliminary information that has not been audited and thus might be subject to some additional change.
It's about as non-committal as we can get.
But that does allow then Morris not to put that $506,000 into the proprietary fund.
Right.
No, I think at this point it needs to be pretty general.
Yeah. Is there any discussion on that motion, anyone? Rod, you still with us?
No, I think he went away a little bit.
Do you have a quorum?
Yes, we still have four people.
Yeah,
we have six.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The adoption barely makes it.
Do we want to, do you guys want to make a recommendation regarding fund names or the creation of a new fund? Since we've been talking about the sinking or depreciation fund or some other clever moniker.
I would.
Yeah, I think I jotted down new building or future building and repair fund. For the sinking fund.
There should be in business, we had funds like that all the time, so there should be a fund name that's pretty common. I just don't
the sinking
remember
fund is. The sinking fund is named because you presumably have a liability out there someday, and every dollar you put in makes the liability sink to zero.
And the liability is the
buying a new building or replacing or repair, capital repairs, HVAC goes out on a target, and I suspect it's ugly.
Oh, yeah.
So would that be your motion?
I don't know if we want to do that or just have an explanation of what a sinking fund is.
Yeah.
And just do a little financial education for the people who don't know.
And then be thinking about what Bob was talking about as far as having a protected fund as our contingency fund. But I don't know that, I think everyone's going to want to weigh into that. That's something we should recommend.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say maybe we can do a little research between now and the board meeting. Can we get that kind of fund and not be subject to some sweep?
So then if you all were going to do a motion, it would be to have us make a presentation at the next board meeting to educate the full board regarding the concept of a sinking or depreciation fund, what that would mean for the district, and how it should be managed.
There's a second part of that. And this,
and also
the second part.
And the second part is, and what did we,
should we form an emergency services fund?
Or should we leave our ending balance
higher
at the higher. High level
at the 16.6
because we need it in place of this?
I know I'm not a member of that committee. Hopefully, yes. The only thing is that when you leave things in the general fund and you have a large ending fund balance, that's seen by a lot of people as
right.
Why?
You have to have a good justification.
You can't explain. I mean, it's impossible to explain. It's just not accepted.
And so maybe that's part of it.
Three separate funds, right? We're taking the general fund. We're taking we're changing the word from sinking fund. And another emergency services reserve fund or something.
But then you have to decide how much you want to set aside for emergency services and how to fund it.
And perhaps one of the potential agenda items Dr. Iser brought up was changing the board policy that we have this very large, what is it, 16%?
It's a range between 16.6 and 25%.
Percent ending fund balance, and perhaps what we could do is say, you know, for our general fund, we want to have a 8% balance, double the statutory 4% required. In the meantime, we believe we should also have a emergency services fund, which we have kept, which we keep funded at 8 to 12% of the
ending
general
balance.
Fund revenue. That's what the percentage is of. And then, again, we are left with how we come up with the plan
how
to put money
plan,
in.
How you put it together.
Right? How do you get the money over there?
Yeah.
And then we could establish those funds and get back to you. The other question I have, and again, I don't want to confuse things more, but rather than establish a new fund, why not just keep the bond reserve fund and fund it at a lesser amount and use it for the same purpose? The sinking fund.
I think the bond reserve fund was misnamed at the time.
Yeah.
No one believed they'd actually save up that much money over that long period of time.
Initially, we were supposed to be, the district was going to work with Clark County to actually do a bond.
Yeah.
And that fell through, and it turned into the building fund, but the name was never changed.
Yeah. And also, that's one potential reason, and another is that it is a different purpose to save up for a building.
Sinking bond.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not the emergency services fund.
Yes, you could.
But just keep the bond reserve fund and put the depreciation
over.
Into that.
You could take over. You could hijack your capital fund and use that for that purpose.
You could do that too.
Yeah. So that,
or add it into that.
I worry a little bit though if it's going to be a specific fund that has dollars going into it every year. As opposed to having a large dollar figure, say 5 years from now, instead of having a large dollar figure, which would be associated with that 8% that we're giving up as far as our ending fund balance, instead we have this pot of money that we every year put a little bit of money into. I don't, how big do you make that pot of money? And until it's that big, are you at risk?
Does that make any sense? Are you at risk? I mean, the nature of our mission is that it's undefined until it happens.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
So you're talking about the emergency services?
Yes,
fund.
The emergency services.
I would say fund it up to a maximum amount.
But while you're in the process of doing that funding, if something hits and you've already allowed your ending fund balance to sink to something like 8% and you don't have that extra 8%, what do you do?
I would do it before then. So remember our projected end fund balance for 15 is 16.5% now?
Yes.
So if we establish that fund and put the money into it during 15.
Just transfer the whole.
Right, just take it out in a lump sum.
The amount over 8%.
Right. Put all of that over.
Just
that
the amount
to the new
over
fund.
8%. Okay. And then we reduce our ending fund balance if we hit our budget perfectly at the end of 15 to 8%. Ballpark $6 million.
So if we're at 8.5 or so now, or we will be at the end of 2017, then would we just put whatever's left over above and beyond 8
those
into
are,
it?
That would be a discussion that the board would have at this point, unless Mr. Musgrove finds some Hail Mary miracle and comes up with more revenue. We're going to have to stop doing something we're doing now in order to fund, to actually put money aside in this emergency savings account.
Yeah. That's right. So again, at the end of 3 years, you see a declining in fund balance that we have to stop that decline at some point. And that decline probably should stop if the new board policy is 8%, should stop at 8%. Mm-hmm. And we still have... We can do that if we go with scenario D, but I don't think we're going to do that. We're going to be someplace between A and D. So we still have to find ways to save money or increase our revenue to offset indirect.
Yeah. At least we're talking about it.
Yes.
And we're good, and we deal with it. Yeah. And not just let it go.
Any additional discussion on agenda item 4? That takes us to agenda item 5, public comment, a period devoted to comments by the general public, if any. If anyone wants to speak, I'll read the rest of the rules.
I move for adjournment.
Otherwise, I will accept that motion, ask for a second.
Second.
And call this meeting adjourned.
So when is the Ralston... Tomorrow?
Around 6:30. No, tonight, around 6:30.
Well, you're going to be taped tonight, but when will it air?
Tonight.
Live?
Tonight.
Yeah.
Now that we're adjourned before the board members go, this is the thing I couldn't talk about. Tim asked that we put on the agenda a change in the longevity pay for executives only. So this chart shows you who gets longevity pay. It's only, Bonnie's not here, it's only Bonnie. She's the only one that's been here long enough to do that. And what she currently gets, and then if he changes it,